All right, so let's dive into this fascinating world of shipbuilding. We've got interviews, articles pointing to this like radical shift in how warships are designed and built. And get this, tiny Denmark is leading the charge in this revolution.
It might seem surprising, but Denmark has been quietly pioneering a new approach to naval power, one
Yeah, think
that's
imagine.
turning heads in capitals around the world.
So what's got everyone so intrigued?
Well, one word, modularity. Imagine building a warship the same way you'd build with Legos. Standardized blocks, or modules in this case, that can be easily swapped in and out.
I'm picturing a giant Lego aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's kind of awesome, but how does this actually work in
Think of
practice?
it like this. Instead of spending months in dry dock for a refit or upgrade, you could potentially switch out entire weapon systems or sensor packages in a matter of hours.
That's
That kind of flexibility is a game changer
yeah.
in a world where threats are constantly evolving.
So it's not just about having the biggest guns anymore. It's about having the most adaptable and up-to-date systems.
Exactly. And this isn't just some futuristic concept. Denmark has been building their frigates this way for years, and they're even proposing this modular approach for new UK
Oh,
frigates,
God,
emphasizing
damn.
cost-effectiveness and rapid construction.
This Lego analogy is really sticking with me. But I'm curious, what sparked this whole modularity movement in Denmark?
Part of it stems from their own security needs as a small nation with a limited budget. Denmark realized they couldn't keep up with the traditional model of building large specialized warships. They needed a more flexible and affordable solution.
Makes sense.
And modularity was the answer.
So they saw a need. They got creative. And now they're actually leading the way.
They are. And it goes beyond just swapping out guns. The rise of autonomous systems, drones, unmanned vessels, all sorts of robotic systems is also playing a huge role in this shift.
Because now you can have a smaller, more adaptable ship acting as a mothership for a whole fleet of drones and unmanned systems.
Precisely. Rear Admiral Nils Wang, who we'll hear from in our sources, really emphasizes this idea of a future where smaller multipurpose vessels packed with advanced technology become the norm.
Motherships, that's a pretty evocative term. But I'm trying to picture how this would actually play out in a real world scenario.
Well, imagine a conflict where you need to quickly adapt to a changing threat. With traditional warships, you're limited by the systems that are built. But with a modular mothership, you could swap in a new sensor package to detect stealth submarines or deploy a swarm of drones to counter a missile attack, all within a matter of hours. That kind of agility is unparalleled.
It's like having a Swiss Army knife of naval capabilities.
That's a great way to put it. And Denmark is taking this concept to the next level with something called the Cube,
All right.
developed by a company called SH Defense.
Okay, the cube. That sounds intriguing. What is it exactly?
It's essentially a system for rapidly moving containerized payloads on and off warships. Think of it like a giant floating toolbox.
So these containers could hold anything from torpedoes and mines to entire drone systems.
And they're all standardized to fit within 20 or 40 foot containers, which leverages existing infrastructure and
That's
logistics.
brilliant. It means you could theoretically reconfigure an entire ship's capabilities at sea, depending on the mission, need to clear a minefield, swap in a mine clearing module,
Take a
need to
look.
conduct surveillance, swap in a reconnaissance module. The possibilities seem almost endless.
And the implications are huge. We're talking about a level of flexibility and responsiveness that was simply unimaginable with traditional shipbuilding methods.
So it's not just about the ship itself anymore. It's about the payloads and the effects they can deliver.
It's a complete paradigm shift in how we think about naval power. And this idea is catching on globally.
Really?
Singapore, for instance, is already building their own version of these modular motherships.
It sounds like Denmark has really tapped into something revolutionary here. But if this modular approach is so game-changing, I have to wonder, why aren't all the major naval powers jumping on board?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's something we'll definitely dig into.
Okay.
As we go deeper into this topic.
All right. One of the sources that really stood out to me was an interview with Rear Admiral Torben Mikkelsen.
Right.
He headed up the Danish Navy and is now at the helm of their naval modernization efforts.
He offers a truly fascinating perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Mikkelsen argues that this shift goes beyond simply building new ships.
Right.
He's talking about creating an entirely new maritime operational ecosystem.
An ecosystem that's a pretty broad concept.
Yeah.
What does he mean by that?
He's urging us to look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
It's not just about the hardware, but also how these ships will be based, how crews will be trained to operate them effectively, how they'll be maintained.
Okay.
And perhaps most importantly, how they'll integrate with other naval forces, both regionally and with allies.
So it was about a holistic approach to naval power, taking into account all these interconnected elements.
Precisely.
Okay.
And Mikkelsen stresses the importance of starting with the desired effects you want to achieve in the battle space.
Right.
Then you figure out what combination of payloads, sensors, weapon systems, and autonomous systems you need to create those effects.
It's almost like flipping the script.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of building a ship and then figuring out what it can do, you start with the mission and work backwards.
It is.
Wow.
And it highlights the importance of flexibility and adaptability.
Right.
Mikkelsen specifically mentioned the challenge of protecting critical seabed infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
Things like undersea cables, pipelines.
Right.
And offshore energy installations.
Those are increasingly vital and vulnerable in our interconnected world.
And traditional naval forces aren't always well equipped to deal with threats to these kinds of assets.
Right.
But a fleet of smaller modular motherships outfitted with the right payloads and autonomous systems.
Okay.
Now that could be incredibly effective
in
safeguarding these critical pieces of infrastructure.
This modular approach seems like it could really open up new possibilities for international collaboration as well.
Yeah.
Imagine Denmark and its Nordic neighbors.
Right.
Or even a larger group of allies.
Uh-huh.
All building standardized modules that can be swapped between ships.
That's exactly the kind of thinking Mikkelsen is advocating for.
Okay.
You could have a truly interoperable fleet with nations sharing payloads and supporting each other in a crisis.
Yeah.
He even believes this approach could revitalize the whole concept of an arsenal of democracy.
That idea of democratic nations pooling their resources and industrial capacity to deter aggression.
Right.
But how does that play out in the nuts and bolts of shipbuilding?
Well, one key element is the use of standard 20 and 40 foot container dimensions for the modules. This allows them to leverage existing infrastructure and logistics. And it means they can work with sensor and weapon manufacturers.
Yeah.
To build systems that fit within these standardized containers.
So you could have a whole catalog of payloads ready to be shipped and deployed anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a global takeout menu for your warships.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It really captures the essence of this idea.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just military applications.
Okay.
Imagine a modular ship that could be rapidly reconfigured to deliver humanitarian aid and disaster relief.
Okay.
It could deliver medical supplies, food, and other essential goods to a disaster zone.
It's like having a rapid response platform that can be tailored to any situation.
Uh-huh.
This is all incredibly innovative.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, how do you actually build these modular ships?
Yeah.
Is it more complex than traditional shipbuilding?
That's where another fascinating aspect of the story comes in.
Yeah.
We spoke with Corey Gross Christensen, CEO of OMT Group, the company designing these motherships.
Right.
And he talked about a revolutionary approach.
Okay.
Using factory-based production.
So instead of building ships piece by piece in a massive dry dock, they're taking a more modern assembly line approach.
Exactly.
Wow.
They're utilizing robots and advanced manufacturing techniques to build ships in a way that's more akin to how we build cars.
Okay.
Christensen argues that this is essential.
Right.
If the West wants to keep pace with China's shipbuilding capacity.
Because China is churning out ships at an incredible rate, right?
They are. Yeah. They've invested heavily in their shipbuilding industry and are now outproducing the West in terms of both quantity and in some cases quality.
Okay.
Christensen sees this factory-based modular approach as essential for closing that gap.
Right.
It's like applying the principles of mass production to shipbuilding.
Fascinating. So he's not just talking about technological innovation.
But also a fundamental shift in production methods.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And he highlighted the potential for distributed manufacturing as well, with standardized modules and components.
Right.
Different nations could specialize in producing certain elements and then assemble them at a central location.
It's like a global supply chain for warships. That's really thinking outside the box.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's not just about building the ships.
Right.
It's also about seamlessly integrating all the different systems, the autonomous systems, sensors, weapons.
Yeah.
It's a complex puzzle.
And from what I understand, they're developing sophisticated software.
Right.
To manage all of that.
Yeah.
You could plug in a new laser weapon, for example. And the ship's power management system would automatically adapt to accommodate the increased energy demands.
That's right.
Ah.
Demonstrates the level of sophistication and forethought.
Yeah.
It's going into this new approach.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not just theoretical.
Right.
We're seeing it in action with Singapore's new multi-role combat vessels, those motherships we mentioned earlier.
They're based on these Danish design principles and are being built with modularity and autonomous systems in mind.
Right.
It's a real example of how this approach can level the playing field, allowing a smaller nation like Singapore to field a highly capable and adaptable fleet.
It challenges traditional naval hierarchies.
Right.
These motherships might be smaller than traditional warships.
Yeah.
But they pack a serious punch. In terms of the effects they can deliver.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that size isn't everything.
Okay.
In the modern naval battle space.
This is all incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
But I have to imagine that all this innovation and change is creating some friction within the world of naval warfare. Not everyone is going to be thrilled about this new paradigm.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In fact, Rear Admiral Nils Wang was quite candid about the resistance this new paradigm is facing. Both from those who cling to traditional naval thinking.
Right.
And from certain elements within the defense industry.
Yeah, it's understandable that there would be some pushback.
Yeah.
The old ways die hard, especially in institutions like navies that have long held traditions and doctrines.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, there are always those whose livelihoods might be threatened by change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wang spoke about a certain romanticism attached to those iconic hulking warships.
Yeah.
And it can be hard for some to let go of that image of naval power.
Yeah.
But he also argued that clinging to outdated concepts could be detrimental in the long run, leaving those who resist change vulnerable to those who are embracing the future.
And it's not just about sentimentality, right? There are also powerful economic interests at play.
Absolutely. Big, complex warships generate huge profits for traditional shipbuilders.
So there's a strong financial incentive to maintain the status quo.
As Wang pointed out, some companies might be hesitant to invest in the infrastructure and training required to shift to this new modular approach, even if it proves to be more efficient and cost-effective in the long run.
It's that classic tension between short-term thinking and a long-term vision.
Yeah.
But if this modular approach is as advantageous as it seems, wouldn't it make sense for governments to step in and incentivize the industry to adapt?
Wang certainly thinks so.
Okay.
He suggested the governments need to rethink their approach to defense procurement.
Right.
Instead of focusing on acquiring a specific number of platforms.
Okay.
Like saying we need to buy X number of frigates.
Yeah.
They should be focusing on achieving specific outcomes.
So what capabilities do we need to address the threats we face? Exactly.
And what's the most effective way to acquire those capabilities?
It's about shifting the mindset from a platform-centric approach to a capability-centric one.
That's a pretty fundamental change.
It is.
Yeah.
It requires breaking down traditional silos, fostering collaboration between different branches of the military.
Right.
And even partnering with non-traditional defense companies.
Okay.
Like those tech startups that are developing cutting-edge autonomous systems.
Okay.
It's about embracing innovation and being willing to challenge the status quo.
It seems like this shift in shipbuilding also has the potential to reshape the balance of power at sea.
Absolutely.
If smaller nations can acquire highly capable and adaptable fleets using this modular approach, it could really shake things up.
It could level the playing field in a way that we haven't seen before. It's no longer just about who has the biggest ships and the most firepower.
But about who can adapt most quickly to evolving threats and who can effectively leverage the latest technologies.
This has been a truly eye-opening deep dive.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, what's the key takeaway for our listener?
I think the main takeaway is this.
Okay.
The next time you see a headline about a major naval power flexing its muscles, don't just assume it's all about the size of their ships or the number of missiles they can launch.
Okay.
True naval power in the 21st century is going to be defined by something far more nuanced.
It's about embracing innovation, being adaptable.
Exactly.
And focusing on the effects you want to achieve.
Right.
Rather than just the platforms themselves.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that sometimes the most groundbreaking ideas come from the most unexpected places.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that a small nation known for Legos and Higgs would be leading a revolution in naval warfare?
It's a great reminder that we should never underestimate the power of creativity and innovation.
Absolutely.
And that, my friend, is why we love the deep dive.
Right.
Always something new to learn.
Yeah.
Always another layer to uncover. Until next time.
Great stuff.